Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you missed the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. It's a bit
Yeah,
late,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It's never too late to say Happy New Year, is it?
2022.
Yes. Can you believe it? Where's the And we're what nearly halfway through January.
Yep. Yep. Gosh. I remember when it was the year 2000, and that seems like yesterday. It's crazy.
Yes,
crazy.
I remember that year many years ago.
Giving away our ages.
We are.
I don't remember that.
You were in the crib, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Just with my bottle.
In my
dummy. Nothing much has changed. Anyway, how are you, Sue?
Yeah, well, I'm afraid the C COVID knocked at my door over a week ago. COVID.
Yeah.
So but you know, I'm so lucky and so pleased. I'm double jabbed. I've had the vaccine, and I feel really fortunate and lucky. And I'm recovering. I've had a bit of a sort of not yet for a couple of days, I'm not going to lie. And it takes quite a lot for me to not turn on my computer or think about work. And I had to sort of down tools for a couple of days after I'd come back, which I was really annoyed about. But it took over me, and I think you've just got to go with it. How have you been, Josh?
Yeah, I got COVID as well. So I've just come out of isolation.
Right.
I got it, obviously 10 days ago. Again, it was quite an intense few days of feeling a bit coldy. I lost my taste halfway through. I didn't get it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just feel very tired. I think I'm just drained. It didn't take long to be tired.
No. Mm-hmm. And you've been keeping well? Yeah, sorry, Josh, go on.
No, it's fine. No, carry on.
No. I'm just going to say, Stephen, you've been okay. It hasn't knocked on your door yet, no?
If it's knocked on my door, Sue, I'm not answering. I'm literally staying. I'm kind of
Good
running away from it. It's crazy, though, because so many people around me have had it in the last few weeks. I'm just like, oh, my goodness. You know, it's rampant. It's out there, isn't it?
And we're going to talk a bit more about it later, aren't we? Our experiences and later on in the show.
Yeah.
So, we haven't got Tony or Tanya today, have we? So
no, we haven't. Tanya's got knocked at her door yesterday, unfortunately.
Oh.
Yeah, bless her. Yeah, she's really poorly. But I said we'd all wish her well on the show, and I'm sure.
Yes, so we get better.
Well, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what's on the show today? You've got a great interview, haven't you?
Yes, I thought, well, you know what, 2022, and I'm not talking about New Year's resolutions because I don't make them because I never keep them, but maybe at the beginning of the year to perhaps start thinking about ourselves a bit more, being a bit more kinder to ourselves, looking after our well-being a bit more and looking at those things. And I thought, you know, as we sort of go into January, let's talk about how, you know, what support is. There's some amazing support from lots of different organisations out there. And I managed to do a really great interview with Mel, who she is the coordinator at the Terence Higgins Trust, who coordinates My Community Forum. And I did a really great interview with her, and one of her volunteers that recently was diagnosed and came onto the forum a few months ago, and he talks about what the impact has been with him of being newly diagnosed and connecting to a forum. So, really great interview to kick off the new year.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's a really good thing to have somebody who's newly diagnosed
get
a perspective on it. And yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. And also we're going to come back and just have a chat about COVID and things. The world news is back.
World it news, is. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, and some community news.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. You can also get us on podcast. Now, as we start a brand new year, 2022, can you believe it? It's that time already. I suppose a lot of us are thinking in the new year of not necessarily what we're going to do different, but what else can we do to help and support us through these times that are still quite challenging with COVID, the new variants, and all the other stuff that's going around. I have got a couple of amazing people on the show today. I've got Mel Raptu. I hope I've said her name correctly. We're going to be talking about an amazing project called the Terence Higgins Trust Community Forum. And at that moment, Mel, I'm going to bring you in. I've done you an introduction. So welcome to the HIV Hour, Mel.
Thank you, Sue. It's nice to be here.
So, like I said, we're all thinking of, you know, even more so than ever, Mel, about our health and well-being. Would you agree on that at the moment?
Yeah, I think January is a time for New Year resolutions, perhaps new starts. It's always a marker, isn't it, in January when we bring in the new year. What am I going to do this year? How am I going to improve my life? Yeah, I'm not a great fan of New Year's resolutions, actually.
me too, but when, you know, when it comes to our perhaps our mental health well-being or being, you know, with all those things that are still happening, we're still in lockdown or we're not in lockdown and COVID and all of those things are quite sort of stressful. You know, we want to, I think we need to sort of perhaps be a bit kinder to ourselves and perhaps take care of ourselves a bit more. Wouldn't you say so, Mel?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that is something that the Community Forum can offer. We just did a survey in October of all our members, and having a sense of connection and finding out what events are happening in the community were the top reasons why people joined and stayed on the forum. So, yeah, it can help us. In just, as you say, COVID has been such a big thing, the new variant. That's one of the top threads. So on the forum, there's lots of different threads that we discuss different things, share our views, share our experience. And COVID, of course, was the most popular. But even more recently, I don't know, Sue, if you got a PCR just through the post through Christmas.
I did, yes. Yeah. I did, yes.
And so something like that, you know, you don't, for me, it was quite unexpected. It just appeared. Mm. But on the forum, then people said, hey, I've got this. What's this all about? So it means that you're not so isolated and you have a chance just to ask very simply, I've got this. What does that mean? And then people can answer, oh, I've got it too. So you don't feel so isolated. You can put it in the context of what it is.
Mm-hmm. So, Mel, give us a bit of background. I mean, some of our listeners are listening and thinking, well, Okay, what is the forum? I've never heard of this forum. What is the forum?
So my community forum has was rebranded last year. It's it's got a real history. And actually, anyone who was a former member of my HIV forum, we're going to archive all the information and all the conversations that were shared. But that's a separate project. Mm-hmm. So 2 years ago, it was rebranded rather than My HIV Forum. It was My Community Forum. Mm-hmm. And it was put onto a more user-friendly platform. So the other one had a lot of members, but it was quite old. And so this is much more accessible. We've got a live chat function as well. And it means that you can register anonymously, so you don't need to share your information, and you can go on and just see COVID, PCR tests, but also, as you're talking about, health and well-being, different events. I've just put the kickstart events for New Year from Terence Higgins Trust, but it's not just Terence Higgins Trust, it's all different organisations just mm-hmm. showing for World AIDS Day. We had all the different events that were happening nationally for that day. So there's a lot of information there. So it can be very general information, but it can also be very specific. So mm-hmm. last year I had someone with a query about occupational health, mm-hmm. and that was quite a specific question, but we have a lot of volunteers that man the forum that also have their own expertise, man mm-hmm. and woman in the forum, I should say.
Yes. Uh-huh. We've got to get that right.
Yes, definitely. So, you know, we have a lot of people, actual forum members and volunteers that moderate the inquiry so that they've got a lot of experience that they can share. And we say, if we don't know the answer immediately, we'll find out for you and we can direct you to other sources of information.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I'm imagining myself sitting listening to the HIV Hour this evening and thinking, that sounds really, I quite fancy that. I've never done anything like that before. How simple would it be to sort of connect to something like this? Is this a long process? Is it a fairly easy process?
Well, maybe I'll let Jordan answer that because he was just shaking his head there, I saw.
Yes.
He did join us in August. But yeah, it's a very simple, you can do it anonymously. You do need an email, but you just go onto the THT website, click the link and then register. But perhaps let's, Jordan,
Jordan, welcome to the HIV. I'm so pleased to have you on this. So, yeah, follow on from what Mel has just been talking about. Yes. How easy was it for you to get on?
It was really easy. It was done within like 5-10 minutes. And I literally just found out and, excuse me, and obviously come home and I had all these questions going around in my head. And all I did was type Terence Higgins Trust into Google. And uh-huh. the thing that popped up was my community forum. So I literally, as I said, went on, typed an email in, my name, and it was good to go. Mm-hmm. So it was very, very easy and simple to do.
So
I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't done it.
I mean, because before we went on there, you were talking about you're fairly new to my community forum. Yeah. How long have you been on it?
Well, I actually joined 1st of September. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed in late August and I joined the forum in September. So I'm very, very new. But everything's going well, so
mm-hmm. can I ask you, Jordan, were you able to connect with like-minded people like yourself on the forum?
Yeah, as Mel was saying briefly then, like, there is always someone to talk to. Mm-hmm. And I said, if like they don't know an answer to a question, then they will always come back to you. Mm-hmm. The first time I actually spoke to Mel was when she sent me a private message for my birthday in October.
Lovely.
So, like, even like that personal touch as well, like Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's all been conveyed very, very professionally as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, let me ask you another question, Jordan. Before my community forum, was there anything else you tried, or this was the first thing, or perhaps you knew about the Terence Higgins Trust? What?
Well, the day I actually went for my diagnosis, before I even saw my doctor, there was a counsellor there and he was working with Terence Higgins Trust.
That's
how I actually found out, and he actually told me that before.
Right.
Before my appointment to speak to me about what was going to happen, what was going to go on, and the process, just lay out the process basically mm-hmm. Before I was even given my diagnosis.
Wow.
So I knew about it beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was, and then it's just gone from there.
Wow. And you're enjoying it. It's not clicking on, is it? But it's sort of, you know, is there events you can attend? Is there things get? I'm just thinking, perhaps bring you in again as well, Mel. Obviously, different things happen on the forum, isn't there?
Well, there's always different threads. There's always mm-hmm. different information being shared. But as we don't actually have events as such. Mm-hmm. So we do have this live chat function, which I think mm-hmm. really supported Jordan. As he says, someone's on there. So it's not someone on there 24 hours a day, I might add. But there are certain sections where we have volunteers that have been diagnosed for a while, peer mentors. And so when you just click on that and say hello, you can just have a very general conversation. But as Jordan said, there's also the private message function. So you don't have to share everything publicly about what you're asking. I get quite a lot of private messages through the forum where people are just sharing their unique questions or want advice about something else, and then I can just private message them. But also within the forum, members are private messaging each other as well, so there's a real sense of community there.
I mean, so is there opportunity like for groups of people to chat, Mel?
So on the live chat it is groups of people. So let's say Stuart or Chris, they have our regular drop-ins, but we have regular members that also chat to them. So I think sometimes though, when there's a lot of people, Jordan, it can get quite I you know, you have to answer this person and this person and this person, because it is text. It's not like we're talking,
right?
So it is typing and messaging, but in a way that's also useful. So one of our newest volunteers, actually English is her second language, and I didn't realize until I actually met her and interviewed her, you know, how it's very different when you're talking to someone, because actually on the forum it's very different. She's very eloquent the way that she's typing and messaging. So it's an interesting way to communicate to people.
Brilliant. The live chat has been especially effective for me, because the only downside to it is all the scrolling back to try and keep up with the messages. it is really good function.
How crucial do you think a resource like this, and this is a question to both of you, how crucial do you think it is to have a resource like this for people living with HIV?
I think it's essential because it is anonymous. For a start, I think that is its real power, is that anyone with an email can just log in. They don't have to identify themselves. Even if you're not newly diagnosed, if you're long-term diagnosed, there's still stigma, and people still want to be able to have that connection. But perhaps they haven't got the courage to do an in-person group or to sign up with a different local organisation. So, and the reach is national, Sue. You know, in the survey, we have people all over the country, Scotland, Wales, Brighton, but even people international, so perhaps expats who were from England but are in other countries. We've had some really, you know, it really can be life-saving work. I had some really extraordinary feedback from someone who was in another country, was English, but, you know, also couldn't manage the treatment, couldn't access what was essential there or the information there, but logged onto the forum, got the answers, got the support, and actually messaged and fed back that it was a lifesaver for them and their wife. So, you know, there's a lot of stories like that.
You know, I mean, I personally think, you know, being positive myself, you know, and I've been on the community forum, and it's an amazing thing. You know, I've got some friends and colleagues that actually go on it, and you know, that they couldn't be without it. It's that extra resort, you know, that they can connect to and connect with. And it's so brilliant that, you know, Jordan, you being diagnosed such a little time, you manage. I mean, how? That was like someone landed you a golden egg that day, you know. I'm just thinking that must, you know, there was a reason for whatever happened that day. You got the information, and that must have made a difference to your life now, Jordan.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely helped me process everything a lot better. I said that if I hadn't had the forum, then I don't know where my mental state would have been for a start.
Right.
But no, I think the forum has really, really helped me process the bombshell I had dropped into my life out of nowhere. And luckily I've had people I can talk to. So.
And can I ask, how are you doing, Jordan? How are you doing?
How are you doing?
Do you know what? I mean, John, we don't ask each other enough, how are we doing? You know, it's those words, how are you doing? You know, that, yeah, those simple words to just, you know, because sometimes we don't like to talk about stuff, whatever it is. And it's always nice to say that, isn't it? You know, yeah. And I'm so pleased you've really found something on this on the amazing platform. I'm just thinking, Mel, hopefully we've got some listeners rustling their papers and writing down their emails. How can they, again, remind our listeners how they can connect to the community forum?
So you can go onto the THT website. If you follow the My Community Forum link, there's another little button that you click on, register. You register, you have to put in your email, it will give you a password, and then you can join. It's as simple as that. As Jordan mm-hmm. said, it's just five yeah. minutes. If there are any complications, you can email me. My email is also on the website. Or there's also the forum email as well that you can, if there's any right. IT difficulties, because some of my role is to reaccess or authorize passwords. You know, right. with any kind of tech, there's always sure. a bit of a problem. People yes. forget the passwords.
Of course.
So there's course. Always, mm-hmm. you know, there's ways that you can access things if there's difficulty. But it is very, very simple. Once you're on there, mm-hmm. it can be, as Jordan said, there's a lot of scrolling, especially if you access it on a phone. There's different things, you know, if you're accessing it on an iPhone or accessing on a laptop, there's lots of, I'm not going to say lots of technical issues, but there, you know, there are different things that come up, and some people struggle with scrolling. Some people, the live chat pops up, they don't want it. But, mm-hmm. you know, it just takes time, like anything new, even for me, because I started in this role in June. I'm not that tech orientated, and it took me a while just to get familiar with what the different things are, how to find new posts, what to see, as Jordan says, all the scrolling. Mm-hmm. So don't be daunted if at first you look at it and you see all this text, all these threads, and mm-hmm. think, oh, this is too much for me. I can't access this. I don't know what it is. Just give yourself some time to really mm-hmm. look at all the different subjects, all the different information there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have to message. You don't have to reply. A lot of people actually, I can see, are just on there looking, reading, mm-hmm. and not necessarily responding, but they are still accessing it.
And I think sometimes that can be okay for some people, can't it? Having that power and that opportunity. Well, I'm just going to connect. I'm just going to see what's going on. I don't feel like talking today. I don't feel like chatting or doing anything. I'm just going to see what's going on. And that's really okay, isn't it, Mel?
Yeah, and as like I said right at the beginning, this thing about the PCR test coming through the post.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all the discussion about shielding, non-shielding, there's so much different information out there.
Right.
That the mm-hmm. forum is a place where you can really discuss it, get someone mm-hmm. else's opinion, understand it, you know, see that you are not the only one experiencing this, judge other people's experience, you know, you can balance it. You can get more of a balanced idea rather than just one source of information. There's lots of different opinions and sources of information there.
Great. Mel, Jordan, has been absolutely great having you on the show. On our first, can I just say, it's our first show in January for the new year. So I thought I'd go off with a wonderful bang and explosion of something really positive. And it's just so wonderful that we were able to get you both on. I really wish you well, Mel, with the, you know, the forum and the progression. Jordan, keep doing what you're doing. I can see that your face, it's lighter, you know, and that's great. And that's how it should be, shouldn't it? You know, finding things that make us smile.
And I think that's another important thing to share, that the forum does make you smile. You know, we've shared that there's a lot of information there, and sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, there is also a lot of fun there.
Yeah.
Jordan, your recent live conversation chat about being a drag queen and stuff, there's a lot of fun there.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Gosh. No, thank you so much for both coming on today. Perhaps later on in the year, Mel, come on again, and perhaps you, Jordan, just to see how you're both doing and seeing how things are going on the community forum. That would be great. Would you be willing to come on again?
Of course. Yeah, thank you.
Thank
Brilliant.
You.
Okay. Thanks again for coming on and continue the great work you both do. Okay.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Radio Reverb. Fine. Radio Reverb.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM on RadioReverb.com and around the world on podcasts. Okay. That was a really good interview, Sue.
It was great. Mm,
mm. Yeah, you really sort of talked fairly candid about, and you know, when I interviewed him over Zoom, you know, the smile and the reaction on his face when he was talking about it sort of inspired me to do what we're doing on the radio today, talking about the community forum. So yes, really.
Are you on the community forum? Are you on, Stephen?
Yes, I am.
And you, Stephen?
No, I'm not on it.
No, you can connect. You know, it's not for everyone, but it's another resource for people.
Yeah,
if they want, it's there. Mm. You know, and go on, have a try. If you're not keen, you know, you've done it, you've tried it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But all this links you into other people as well, doesn't it? And
that's exactly support,
which is great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we talked about COVID earlier and HIV, and just wanted to talk about our experiences, didn't we? And I mean, have you got anything else to add to it, Sue?
Do you know what? When I tell you what prompted me to take the test. I mean, I'm you know, I'll wear a mask walking down the road. That's how super, super conscious I've been, but obviously haven't been super, super conscious enough. But what prompted me to take the actual test was I started getting these sort of, in the background, banging headaches. And I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It was when I had my second jab. I for some reason, I had these banging headaches and always remember that. And I thought, okay. And then, of course, I took the test in the morning and I was positive. And I'm trying to explain how it felt because I thought, oh, my goodness, I was a bit scared to start with. And then I started realising, okay, you're healthy, you're well, you're living with HIV, you've been double jabbed, you've had your booster, you're taking your medication, you know, you're going to be okay. But, you know, as the strongest person I am, I did sort of think, oh my goodness, I'm not is the word infallible, I can't remember what it is, that, you know, other things can happen to us. And how did you feel, Josh?
It's really weird because I did say, I mean, this is my own experience and my own thoughts, but I was, sometimes you just wish you'd get it and because it's all fear-based, isn't it? And, oh my God.
Yes.
What you wish for. And I got it. And I just felt it is a cold, in my experience, it was quite intense thing. And the isolation, just being out of isolation from people was the main thing for me.
Yes.
But look, I mean, it just made me realise that if you live on your own, it's a tougher thing to do.
Yeah.
I was lucky. Definitely. I've been staying with friends, so they were isolating as well. Mm-hmm. So we kind of had that support going on anyway. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
To realise that if you don't have that support, it's a lot tougher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose that's kind of where I can dip in because I'm living with HIV, but also living with diabetes. Now, my diabetes is always the thing that is, you know, HIV is just another thing, you know, but with diabetes, there's so much more fear of complications and risks, and especially with something like COVID coming along. So yeah, I've kind of been a bit like that. That person that you described, Josh, you know, being in my house, you know, doors bolted shut. It's been a bit strange, but just getting on with things and just trying to relax and breathe and seeing people like you guys, you know, that have both been through it, you know, just being careful, just being safe. And that's all we can do, isn't it?
And I think also connecting with people, if you're isolating, you know, what I'm thinking, if you're living on your own and you're isolating, you know, just send a few messages to people, you know, just to keep the connection going, keep doing the things that you would normally do instead of going outside. I think that'd be really important, wouldn't you say so, Josh?
Yeah, yeah. And the fear, I mean, the fear of it is extreme, isn't it? I mean, it's at us 24 hours a day. I mean, you don't have to look at the news, but sometimes you've got help looking at the news.
Yeah.
And it's constantly fed at you, and this must go into your psyche.
Yes.
And I keep saying, I don't know when's going to be the day when we don't. It's not on the news that we don't see the figures. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I just can't imagine
that being like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think because we live with a virus anyway, with HIV, it kind of hardened me. Not hardened me. Just kept me. I was living with a virus as well, so I got used to managing it and living with it. And realizing that we have to live with it and manage this best of our abilities.
Yes.
It prepares you a bit, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And also the stigma around, I'm interested in how people react with you when you've got COVID. Step back.
Yes.
And it's that stigma of, it's not stigma, it's just how we've been talked about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's all those little things that kind of relate a little bit to when HIV first came out and how
beginning
people
the AIDS epidemic
like don't touch a cup so those things are happening as well, aren't they, with this, I think. I don't know what you think.
I think definitely. What do you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I think the same, because I must admit, I went to visit, I went to drop off Christmas presents to a friend just before Christmas who had tested positive, and I kind of left them at the front door, ran to the gate, you know, and only had a conversation with him at a far distance. And it did make me think, just like you say, it did make me think, gosh, you know, everybody's affected by COVID, you know, so but you know, when AIDS hit, you know, it must have been, it just I actually got a little pang of sadness, because I just thought it must have been so hard for people, you know, that were just being completely stigmatized and you know, and people turning against them, families and all that kind of thing. So so yeah, I know it's a different virus, but it's a virus, you know. So
and it's how you deal with it and how you live with it on a day-to-day basis, isn't it? And everyone's different in how they deal with it. And
and I think somehow I'm thinking we have an advantage, because like you just said, Joss, we learn to live with HIV and all that goes beyond before, you know, at the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. You've just been touched on that, Stephen. So, and I think positive people have got an advantage, as in we know how to control a virus, we know how to handle a virus, I suppose. And then, you know, I suppose if someone has never, that perhaps some people have got COVID and have got nothing to compare it with. I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. I'm just thinking, but you know, people living with HIV, I think maybe, you know, like you said, Josh, you know, we've learned because we've had to, because we live with a condition that's not going to go away, controlled as it may be. And we've had to learn to live with that. And we've had to learn to manage that and manage perhaps some of the stigma that is still out there. So perhaps, I don't know, I'm just thinking at the top of my head there.
That
shows you how we as humans, we do that with anything that comes up like that. So it just shows you that it is a real issue. Not just with HIV, but with other things that come up. So should we do our world news roundup?
Oh, shall we?
Sure. Yes. Do you want to go first, Stephen?
Okay, I'll go first.
I know, you were telling me
Okay, so mine is this comes from sub-Saharan Africa, it's about HIV criminalization and breastfeeding, and this is a growing concern in sub-Saharan Africa. Over the last decade, criminal cases brought against women for alleged HIV exposure or transmission through breast milk have been on the increase. This is particularly concerning in sub-Saharan Africa, where 9 such cases have been reported since 2013. Now, somebody from the Justice Network Department on HIV criminalization and breastfeeding gives us these stats and tells us that 77 countries have HIV-specific criminal laws. These laws cover non-disclosure to sexual partners, potential or perceived exposure and transmission. Other countries have applied general criminal laws, such as for sexual assault and attempted murder, to people living with HIV. In most instances, intent to transmit HIV does not need to be proven. Many of these laws do not acknowledge that, regardless of treatment, the possibility of HIV transmission from a single act of exposure is very low, or that the effectiveness of treatment eliminates the risk of transmission altogether, as in U equals U. Public health and medical experts agree that overly broad HIV criminalization laws are ineffective at preventing transmission and only work to further stigmatize people living with HIV. Now, they report that 13 known breastfeeding related cases have been brought against women living with HIV. And this has happened in Canada, United States, but mainly has occurred in sub-Saharan Africa, including Zimbabwe, Kenya, Malawi, Zambia, Uganda, and Botswana since 2013. Women have been charged with various offences, ranging from unlawfully doing the act of lightly spreading a dangerous disease to deliberately affecting another with HIV. And these prosecutions come from an overreaction to an exaggerated threat based on HIV-related stigma, misinformation about HIV transmission, as well as the fact that the burden of preventing transmission to the child is placed on the shoulders of the woman. Now, just let me finish this by saying, making it clear that while U equals U does not apply to breastfeeding, the risk of transmitting HIV through breast milk is nonetheless very low if that person that is breastfeeding is on antiretroviral treatment. And sometimes some estimate place the risk of transmission at 1% if the baby is breastfed for 6 months, and nearly 3% for a baby that's breastfed for 1 year. So that's, yeah. It's kind of daunting, isn't it?
Yeah. That's quite harrowing, actually, because, you know, some women have no choice.
Yeah.
That's the only choice they have.
Yeah, and their baby will starve if mm-hmm. yeah. yeah.
And also if we look at some of those countries you've mentioned, particular women in those circumstances, if they do not breastfeed their baby, if they're not seen to be breastfeeding their baby, they're seen as an outcast, right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot more complicated than, oh, you're deliberately, or which women do not want to infect and do not want to harm their children, trust me. But yeah, there's a lot more there, isn't there, Stephen? Yeah, really good piece there.
Yep. So what's your piece, Sue?
Oh, right. Now then, hands up if you like tomatoes.
Me.
Well, I've got two hands up. I've got my legs up as well.
I literally cook everything in tomatoes. But apparently, here we go. Now this comes from the University of California, LA. Los Angeles, anyway. So apparently tomato concentrate could help reduce chronic intestinal inflammation associated with HIV, apparently. So it goes, the new UCLA-led research in mice suggests that adding a certain type of tomato concentrate to the diet can reduce the intestinal inflammation that is associated with HIV. Left untreated, intestinal inflammation can accelerate arterial disease, which in turn can lead to heart attack and stroke. Have you heard anything about that before?
No, I've always known that tomatoes have amazing properties,
there's something in that. Apparently, the findings provide clues to how the altered intestine tract affects disease-causing inflammation in people with chronic HIV infection, suggesting that targeting the inflamed intestine wall may be a novel way to prevent the systematic inflammation that persists even when antiviral therapy is effective in controlling a person's HIV. So, apparently, people, I don't know whether you know this, guys, people with HIV have been found to have a condition called leaky gut. In which products in the gut bacteria, such as liposuction, now that is a word I cannot say, but it's a very long word. I'm not even going to chance it. It's about 6 inches long. Move to other parts of the body through the bloodstream. Those products promote systematic inflammation and can accelerate coronary disease. Yeah, I mean, apparently the researchers worked with mice that had been infected with HIV and whose immune system had been altered to mimic those of humans. The mice were fed a diet containing the tomato concentrate, while the rest were fed a normal diet for mice. Low in fat, cholesterol and calorie. I'm not saying it's, but I'm just, you know, it's just something that's come out of research. But like you said, I think there's something in tomatoes, isn't there?
Yeah, I think there is. I love tomatoes.
Yeah.
Eat them all day.
Yeah. My arteries are fine, I think.
It shows you how some things we don't know that, you know, around the world and different things can help treat something else. It's amazing, isn't it?
And it's natural as well. It's not a tablet. It comes from nature.
Yeah.
So mine is easy to take antiretroviral medicine. It's better at suppressing HIV in children. So it's a once-a-day antiretroviral medicine that is low cost and easy for children to take and is also more effective at suppressing HIV than the most standard treatments. And that's according to a global trial that's been led by the University College in London. The study published in the New England Journal of Medicine found that, and I'll try to get this right, telutragravir-based regimes, which are already widely used to treat adults, reduce the chances of treatment failure among young people aged 3 to 18 by around 40%, and that was compared to standard treatments. So the findings were based on a randomised controlled trial called Odyssey, involving more than 700 children from 29 clinical centres in Africa, Europe and Asia. And they were randomly given either dolutegravir or the standard anti-HIV drugs. That was followed up over at least 2 years to see what their findings were. Medical treatments for children often lag woefully behind those of adults because of the separate formulations and studies that are needed. From the evidence from ODASA, which used simplified dosing, this treatment gap has been reduced. And we hope that countries can quickly scale up children's access to treatment globally. The tablet, the telutragravir, I think I've got that right, is given in small tablets, usually once a day, and the baby pills can be dispersed in water, meaning it's a lot easier for young children to take. This is important to encouraging uptake of the treatment and adherence to it over many years. Sadly, only about half of children living with HIV are currently receiving treatment. And those who are not treated face high risk of impaired immunity and worsening health. So that's my thing. So it's interesting, isn't it? Different things and different studies that get... to see different things, isn't it? Great. I like the world news.
Yes, I think that's quite a good feature, isn't it, guys, on the show? Yeah. It sort of just dips into perhaps places we don't dip into.
And
interesting.
I've learned so many things, you know, from the world news, you know, that I had no idea about, you know, so it's been really beneficial all round.
Yeah, you get so much from it, don't you? Really?
Yeah,
it's good to be your own thing. Should we do some community news?
Yeah, shall we?
So Terence Higgins are, it's already started, but they're running free interactive chemsex awareness training on Zoom. I think the first session was yesterday, but the next one is on Wednesday, February the 23rd, from 10 till 1 p.m. The training covers things like what is chemsex, the different kind of drugs that people use, the impact of chemsex on individuals, and the guidance around supporting them. So if anyone's interested, you can sign up by email. So you send an email to brightontraining@tht.org.uk. Also, got the half marathon in Brighton on the 27th of February, which is Sunday. And if you want, the Sussex Beacon are doing a fundraiser, so you can run for them if you want. Mm-hmm. You can enter the race by visiting their website, sussexbeacon.org.uk, or go on their website and visit #teambeacon. Now, on there is things like how to guidance and how to fundraise and the Just Giving tips. I think there's a principal sponsorship form as well. And once you've signed up, you can set up a personalised Just Giving page and you can start fundraising. So that's if you're interested in doing the half marathon. And that's on the Sunday, February the 27th.
Wonderful.
And just to say about Lunch Positive, which is on every week, that's a lunch club for people living with HIV, meet and make friends, find peer support. And that's every Friday between 12 noon and 2:30. And that's at the Community Room, Dorset Gardens Methodist Church. And that's on Dorset Gardens in Brighton. I think there's a donation you make. And that's on tomorrow, Friday. 12 o'clock onwards. Actually, you can call probably Gary, that is Gary Parchester, on 07846 464 384 if you've got any questions or you want to talk to him.
Could I mention another something that's happening in Brighton on the 3rd of April?
Yes, of course you can. Do whatever you like.
It's the Red Ribbon Run. Sorry, it's not a run, it's a walk. They were supposed to go just before World AIDS Day, but it got postponed because there was something else going on in London sort of clashed, so they decided to postpone it until in the new year. So they're having them in London and Glasgow. The one in Brighton is on the 3rd of April, and I'm actually doing it.
Good on you too.
Yeah, I've done. And again, you know, if you want to, you can sign up if you visit the Terence Higgins Trust website. If you want to, it's a walk. I said run before. It's a walk. And you can walk as slow as you like. I will be. So it's 10K. And you can come and do it with a friend. Or you can come along and support, you know, local people that are, you know, a lot of Brighton people are going to be doing it for, you know, for the Terence Higgins Trust that, you know, great. You know, Josh has just been talking about the chemsex train, which is amazing training. If you've never done it, it's an amazing training for things like that. You know, it supports, you know, those sort of training for people. So, yes, it's the 3rd of April, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, as it goes on. But I thought I'd just give it a quick mention, and I'll be shout. Doing it. I'll be doing it. I'll
yeah,
be doing
well
it.
Done, sir.
Can you mince?
What? you can walk or mince.
I've never heard of that before. I've obviously I'm not in that sort of
club. Is mincing faster than walking?
Is it? Oh, you saw power walk. Oh no.
That's another story.
Another story. Yeah. So lots happening already, or lots of planning of things happening already.
This is great. Well, that's it. I think we've come to time's up, I'm afraid. We've got to carry on for another hour.
Another one done.
Chit chat. chit-chatting we were. Yeah, brilliant.
Another one bites the dust.
Another one.
So, so nice to see everyone, and hope everyone's okay and take care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see you later, everybody. Take care. Bye.
HIVR
is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.